The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are listening to the PVD cast with John Orlando. Soak it up, suckers.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 235. Thank you for checking out this edition, and I hope you are well. I hope your friends and family are safe and sound and healthy on week whatever. I don't know. Hell, it seems like it's been 8 years, but whatever week it is of this COVID-19 situation, again, I hope everything is good for you and all those folks you care about. But let's not talk about COVID-19. Let's talk about my guest on this installment of this podcast. He's a gentleman by the name of Eddie Klinker, and Eddie is the writer of a comic called The Rose Society. It's a book that deals with a couple different themes like friendship and fitting in and death. Mix in a little mystery and a secret society, and you have this fantastic comic. And book one is already out, but Eddie has a Kickstarter right now going on for book two. And the Kickstarter ends May 31st, so about 10 days from now. And he does still need some help, man. You know, as of the recording of this podcast episode about a week or so ago, he was at about 30%. And, he needs some help to get this thing funded. In fact, not only is part of the proceeds going to the book, but the other part is going to help out local comic book shops that have been impacted by the coronavirus. We talk about that endeavor, as well as everything you need to know about the Rose Society in terms of its story, its characters, et cetera, et cetera. And I am going to throw it out there. You're going to learn something about me, too, by the way, on this episode. I am not a video game guy, but Eddie is. In fact, towards the tail end of our conversation, we talk a little bit about video games. And I actually kind of owe Eddie an apology because after we recorded this episode, I thought back. Eddie puts me on the spot about my video game habits, and I mentioned that I hadn't played anything since the N64, which was like 25 years ago or whatever. I mean, Jesus, it was forever ago. But actually, I played a game of Halo probably around 2005, 2006, and I was not very good at it. I hated it. I don't know. Maybe I'm at an age where I need simple things like Dig Dug or Pac-Man or NHL 97, I guess. So you'll learn that little tidbit about me. Not a video game guy by any stretch of the imagination. So before we get into my conversation with Eddie, I need to let you know about World's Greatest Comics. They're a great sponsor of the PVD cast, and they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various collectibles, posters, back issues, etc., etc. So stop on over to the store and say hi to them, or you can check them out online, wgcomics.com. They're also on Facebook. Just look for @WGComics. And on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock, they have some great Facebook live auctions that's still going on. And they even have some eBay auctions going on throughout the week. So check out WGComics.com or their Facebook page to get all the details on those sweet, sweet auctions. And last but not least, I want to encourage you out there to check out the PVD cast on Redline Radio. That's right. It's a great internet radio station out of Cleveland, Ohio. And I feel blessed to be on the network. And I really appreciate all the hard work Dave puts into the station. So if you want to check the station out, all you got to do is search for Redline Radio LLC on Facebook, or their website is redlineradiollc.com. And they even have an app if you're an Android phone user. Just go to the Google Play Store, search for Redline Radio LLC, click the little icon, download it to your phone, and you can take all of the great shows and all of the great music of the station with you wherever you go. And I know if you're like me, you're an iPhone user, you're going, so what, John? Who cares? The app for iPhone is coming real, real soon. So just hang in there. And once again, check out the PVD cast Monday nights, 9:30 on Redline Radio. And hey, check out all the great shows. All right. So with that being said, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I sit down with Mr. Eddie Klinker to talk about his book, The Rose Society. Well, ladies and gentlemen, joining me here today via Uber conference, Mr. Eddie Klinker. Eddie, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, John. Thank you so much for having me today. It's great to be here.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm glad you could come on and chat a little bit about your project, but I'm going to start off with the question that, unfortunately, I've had to ask many people over the last few weeks. How are you doing with this COVID-19 situation?
It's getting to me.
Is it?
I've been trying to stay positive. But it's getting to me. I'm ready to go out. I'm ready to see friends. I have a nephew turning 1 year old in June, and it's like, oh man, am I not gonna be able to see him? So there's just things that I was looking forward to. I was supposed to leave for Amsterdam tomorrow for a friend's bachelor party. So I think at this exact time is when it's really hitting me.
Oh man, like,
come on. Are you holding up with all this?
You know what? I'm doing okay. I think that, as I have mentioned, over the last few weeks, for creative people, I think that there's a little bit of a silver lining in this dark cloud, in that, you know, you get an opportunity to work on your podcast or work on your comic book or work on your film project or whatnot. And so, yeah, I mean, it sucks not being able to go places. It sucks not being able to see your friends and family. It sucks because, as we joked off air, you get that little bit of paranoia where you're like, is this sinuses or is this COVID or why do I not feel good?
And yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That sets in. Hopefully we'll get through it. I think we will. It's just going to take some time.
Yeah. And that's just that you just got to find routines and keep trying to stay creative or do something. We'll get through it. It's nothing will be the same after this, I don't think, for a lot of people.
Agree.
So I think that's another heavy thing that we have to think, like, man, what is it going to look like when we're back?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be
exactly
weird. Yeah.
Well, you're the writer of a comic called The Rose Society, in which you had a very successful Kickstarter for book one.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit about the second book, which has got a Kickstarter here going on right now. But for the listeners, could you give a short summary of The Rose Society?
Sure. I kind of base it off of like an urban action fantasy thriller about an underground society that has kind of laid dormant for a while, and then utilizing the people that they recruit into there, they have decided to kind of become public. And really at the heart of it is a friendship story about a man named Adam Martinez, who reconnects with a long life childhood friend named Marcus Veers, who he discovers Marcus has a dark past kind of dealing with the Rose Society. And we kind of followed these two as they're thrusted into this. They search for answers, but then quickly they're fighting for their lives. So it's an action thriller, but really at the heart of it, I wanted to focus on, you know, those long childhood friends where sometimes you think back and you're like, man, that was my best friend back then. I haven't talked to them in so long. And then you do see them and then it's like nothing's changed, or you just kind of catch up and it feels good and that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's kind of the quick synopsis of it there.
And I think that's very relatable, because I think everybody has that, where you have friends that you don't see for, you know, years and years and years sometimes, and then you get back together and you click right away.
And those friends are so like, they kind of shape you. Like my childhood friends and my childhood friendships, and the way that I had my friends in high school, and the way that we kind of, you know, I have my close friends now and I have the friends that I had back then. And there's a lot of influence in my life that those friendships that I had as a young boy kind of played on me today. So.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
So I see that friendship and maybe a sense of belonging is a theme within the book. Also, dealing with death. So if I may just ask, have you had personal experience with these themes? I mean, as I said, it's all relatable about friendship and that, but about trying to fit in, or, you know, dealing with death of loved ones or friends?
Yeah, totally. I would say the dealing with death and dealing with grief has been a big part of my life. Not to get into details, but I think we've all had people that have, you know, passed in our life, and it's really hard and it's difficult to understand. And I'm 30 years old and I've had a close friends in the past few years, my age or a little bit younger, suddenly pass. And it's just, it's hard to kind of make sense of it. It's hard to kind of deal with that grief, and it's hard to kind of go forward as we all deal with grief differently, and we all try to find out answers differently. And I think in that sense, when you are dealing with that, you're trying to find like kind of where you do belong, where are your support systems, where, how, like, what can you do to kind of honor that person or honor their memory? So a lot of that ties into the book. It really is about how do we handle the death, and how does it affect us? Because it always does affect us, and we have to let it kind of wash over us, and we have to kind of deal with it and move forward. But how do we come out of that differently? How do we kind of honor that person? How do we think about this differently? So yeah, I would say a lot of that. My family likes to joke that the only thing that runs in our family is death, which is very morbid and dark. But yeah, I've had a lot of older relatives and that kind of stuff kind of passed. So it's been just kind of something that's kind of been in my family and in the back of my mind a lot of like dealing with death and accepting it and that kind of stuff. So
yeah. And also, I mean, also from one of the things that linked me to your book, Eddie, was that theme of death, because about 4 or 5 years ago, I had a close friend who was close in age to me pass away, and it deeply impacted me because the first person that I was very close to that was 2 years older than me. You know, it's not like grandma who was 89, or you know what I mean, or your uncle that was, you know, 75, like 2 years, totally. And it really messes with you. And I that's why I identified with that throughout the first book.
Yeah, that reminds me, actually, and I don't know why, the weird things that I stick in my head from my youth, I remember a health class, I think I was a freshman in high school, and we had a day on death, and my health teacher said, he had this like slogan where he's like, you know, death is not a tragedy if that person was able to live a full life. And I think about that, like I don't have any more living grandparents, and obviously it was sad, but it was very, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, they're at peace now, they're, you know, they're not, you know, suffering, and you can do that a little bit quicker, you can kind of get past the grief. But when it's someone's close in your age, or you know, younger, or suddenly happens, or it's an accident, it's a lot harder because they just still had so much to do.
Yeah, I agree. So can we dive into the characters just a little bit deeper? You have, as you mentioned, Adam and Marcus, and then you have a third character, Sicklin.
Yep.
Who shows up towards the tail end, if I recall correctly, of book number one.
Yep.
So could you give a brief little description of some of the character traits that these three folks have?
Yeah, so Adam is a kind of grew up a little bit in a harder lifestyle than normal. Kind of had a rough going of it. He kind of made his way, kind of a lone child, a loner as he was younger. And as he kind of gets older, he finds his way by kind of, he's a big person on trying to make up for his past mistakes. He thinks that he has to owe something to someone to make up for the past mistakes, or to make his life better. He thinks that the only person that can make his life better is himself, and there's like no way that anybody else can do it. He has to kind of do everything himself. He's very self-sufficient to a fault. Marcus is very loyal. He's a loyal friend and a loyal son to his parents. He had his father tragically passed when he was younger, and he kind of took on a lot of that blame. And he took on a lot of the blame of why his mom was hurting during that time. A lot of unhealthy things, you know, all these people need a therapy now that I've kind of talked you through it. So, but Marcus is very loyal. He's a very loyal person, but he's also a person who's looking for his meaning. And so he becomes involved in the Rose Society at the time when he's hurting the most and when he feels the most guilty about his father's death. And that's kind of what the Rose Society does, is they kind of pick the people when they're vulnerable. So they kind of join and they can kind of be that figure in their life, that parental figure or that guiding figure. And Marcus Berry was into that. He wanted someone to, he wants someone to tell him that he's doing the right thing. He wants someone to tell him that he is on the right track, that everything he's doing is for the right purpose. He kind of has a very existential or an external motivation that way. And then Sicklin is very similar. Sicklin grew up kind of found the Rose Society, was kind of constantly rejected by her family and close ones. So she's always just been looking for someone to accept her. And she feels that way with the Rose Society. But unfortunately for her, there's some other extenuating circumstances when it comes to that. So
Now, I don't want to ruin anything for book number two, but yeah, we see some new characters that come into the fold.
Yeah, one of my favorite characters that we got to develop were the All Leaders. And those are the three that kind of run the Rose Society, and they have a very dark, very mystic past to them, and what their motivations are. So I don't want to get too much into that.
Sure,
All that, but I'm very excited for those three. Myself and the artist who's local. I'm in Chicago, and I met the artist at C2E2. So we've had the ability to meet up, obviously before all this COVID stuff happened. During all of this, we met up, and together we had like a really fun just like hangout and kind of just really dispersed and laid out what the All Leaders were and what their past was. And that was a really fun day to do. So that was really cool.
So while we're talking about the creative team, Damon Hampton is your man that does the pencils and inks.
Totally.
And you said he's a local guy. I was going to ask how you started working with him. He's got a great style. I must compliment him for the tale. I think it fits really, really well. And so compliments to him. And I recently just kind of started thinking this way, that you have Jimmy G, who's in charge of coloring and letters. Do you feel like letters and coloring sometimes are not, how do I want to say it, are not given their just due, so to speak?
100%.
I think that a lot of people overlook that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, especially for the letters, they just think that you're putting in, you know, the words into the bubble, and you just kind of, but there is an art to the way that it flows. Mm-hmm. You know, there is an art to the way of maybe choosing to put, you know, because Jimmy will take it, you know, he'll look at the art and he'll look at the script and he'll kind of see a way that kind of put maybe breaking up a sentence and putting it into a different panel really kind of emphasizes the point of this person's upset or this person, you know, is really feeling this. Like, it can have a very huge influence on the tone of the page and the tone of the character. And then, of course, like, in some letters are incredible out there with, you know, with their sound effects and stuff. Like, the way that a sound effects kind of displays over a panel is so beautiful and so like gripping. So I think there is not a due. Letters and colors need to get their due for sure. They deserve it. They're like, I see like a comic book, and why I love it so much is just like the great ones that you like are similar to the great movies that we like, where everything works perfectly, where the directing, the script, the acting, the cinematography, the score, all fits perfectly. And a great comic book is the same way. Like, if you love a comic book, it's because mostly you love the writing, you love the art, the colors, the lettering, it all works together. So yeah, totally. I think there is a need to kind of get letters and colorists, a little more credit.
Where did you find Jimmy at? Is he a local guy?
No, he lives in Poland. He lives in Poland and he owns a bar in London. He's got a cool little life. He like lives on a farm. I just found him through Reddit, actually, through a good comic book collabs is a really good subreddit where a lot of people kind of look. And he posted his stuff, and he was willing to work with us, and he loved the story. And that was a big thing too. When I collaborate with someone, is I don't want to obviously, you know, I want it like we're working together, but I would feel terrible if I have someone doing like a book of mine, because I can't draw. So I'm paying people to do this. I would feel terrible if they're like, yeah, I'll do it. I don't really like it, but I'll do it. It's like, okay, well, that kind of sucks. Like, I want you to feel connected to this or excited to do it, or you like what you're drawing, or you like what you're coloring and lettering. And both of them do. And that just makes it so much more exciting to do and a lot of fun. So yeah, I lucked out with both those guys.
What was your inspiration for the tale? Because if I may be so bold, as I'm reading it, I'm clicking in my head going, this kind of has like the Umbrella Academy or Deadly Class kind of vibe to it. Maybe even a little bit of the Kingsman as well mixed in there. And so I was just wondering, were those inspirations, or do you have something totally else that you were like, yeah, this is why I'm going to write this tale. I'm going to do this and this and this.
I don't know if I really have an exact kind of past work inspiration. I read a lot of comics and a lot of books, and I watch a lot of movies and TV shows. I guess when I was picturing in my head, there's a little bit of like Blade Runner, the way that I kind of wanted it to do with, we kind of talked about it at first being like a little neo-futurist type of thing. But we since kind of backpedaled on that just to kind of make it a little bit more down to earth. But really kind of the inspiration has just always been, I've recently just been kind of going through, and I would see like my friends from back in the day and just see how their lives have changed. And that just kind of kept playing in my mind of being like, man, I wonder what they think of me if they see me on Instagram or Facebook what they're thinking when they see me. Because a lot of my friends, you know, they're married and they got kids and they got houses and they got all that. And I just kind of kept thinking back to of like what our lives were as kids. So it really was the main kind of catapult from that. I always try to make my inspirations a little bit more character driven and then have the fun with the world and the tone of the story, but really have it a lot be about the characters there. But as in terms of like kind of creating that that underground society and stuff and the action, it was probably, I would say, a little bit of Blade Runner. I kind of have that cool little David Villeneuve, kind of picturing that in my head as I was writing out these scripts, that kind of stuff. But, and then once I saw Damon's art, when he started put the pages together, I was kind of like, okay, this feels very kind of like almost like manga type deal. The way he draws is very, you know, very kind of like dirty lines, but very sharp lines, which is really cool and kind of makes it like makes the action look really, really messy and brutal. And that's really fun. So I'll probably say those are some of my inspirations there for this particular book.
So how many books or installments do you have planned for the Rose Society? Do you have it mapped out or no?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. This is we're calling it a mini series. We've got 5 issues total to tell the story of this particular one that we want to do. I think as I was kind of writing in and as we as a team were kind of working out, there's so much room to continue to do this. And there's so much more, like there's a whole history of this society that we could dive into if there's kind of things, you know, to branch off into. But right now we really want to focus on the story that we have telling about Adam, Marcus, and Siklin and how, you know, those three came to be about the Rose Society and how they kind of navigate it. So yeah, it's sitting at 5 issues right now. We're going to stick probably to the 5 issue one. Hope to do some cool things with it once we have all 5 done. Obviously COVID has kind of taken a little bite out of the plan, but everyone's feeling that. So nothing, you know, it's not like we're special there. So we'll just keep plugging along.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Eddie for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. It's the one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, back issues, posters, and they even have a pull system so that you can sign up and never miss a single issue of your favorite comic as it's pulled every single time it hits the racks. So check them out online at wgcomics.com or jump on over to the store located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And heck, they're even on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics. And no matter how you interact with them, let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, right here on the PVD cast. All right, well, let's talk about the second Kickstarter, which is currently ongoing as as we are recording this. It's been about 10 days, you said, and by the time this publishes, you'll have about another 10 days left in the campaign. Where are you guys sitting at? Do you have about a quarter funded, a half funded?
I think I checked this morning. I think we're at like 29% or 30% funded. Okay. So it's doing really well. I'm really excited this one. We decided from the kind of learning from not past, just kind of taking lessons from the first one. We're really pumped to use this one to help out actually some local comic shops. A couple of the ones around here in Chicago that I frequent, they've had to close down due to COVID. And, they, you know, they're not, obviously we know what's going on in the comic industry for those of the fans of it. So we're going to use a portion of this. I plan to use probably about 50%. We have a $2,000 goal. So probably at least like $1,000 to split up between myself, Damon, and Jimmy. And then I want to kind of just have both of them go to their local comic shop. I'm going to go to mine and just kind of donate it to them. Those are the comic shops, you know, that kind of got me into comics as a kid that I would kind of walk around and pick up, you know, the old Daredevils and the old Batmans and that kind of stuff. So I want to help out and give back to those because those are a huge part of the community for comics and comics fans. So we're really excited for that part. We were really pumped to do this and do our part to help out to those small businesses.
What are some of the perks and some of the stretch goals that you have associated with the Kickstarter?
So we are offering, we have obviously both issues. I know this is promoted as the Rose Society number 2, but we're offering both number 1 and number 2. We also are, we have a reward that gets you featured into an issue. We did that for the first Rose Society and a lot of people liked it. And that one went pretty quick. And I think we had a lot of fun finding fun ways to put the fans into the book, especially with something where it's like, people are members of, you know, an underground society. So we have like a couple of Kickstarter fans who are like, you know, part of the underground society's army, and they kind of pop up in fun ways. So that was fun for, I'm hoping it's fun for the backers, but it was really fun for us as well. And then Damon does great. Commissions. I don't know why I just blacked out on that word. So we're having Damon do a couple commissions. Both of those tiers, the likeness in the book and Damon's commissions, are limited. So that I think there's only 8 and 5. So we want to make people get sure they get on that. And then for stretch goals, we've got some things in the working. We're hoping to get some artists on for some exclusive covers or variant covers. Some cool other indie artists I've been talking to get those up and running. And then last time we did a cool poster variation of a cover. We did like a big, like the Blade Runner 2049 poster, the very like iconic one where they're standing all together. We kind of did another variation of that with our characters. So we've been thinking about doing some other cool little postcard movie poster variations that maybe like Damon or Jimmy have been inspired by. So we got some things cooking in there for the stretch goals.
You know, I think that having the Kickstarter campaign people, the donors, if you will, putting themselves in the book, that's a very popular one. And I think that would be something cool to do, you know?
Yeah. And it was so much fun. Like one of the persons who donated, because as I said, Jimmy owns a bar, it was like a regular. And Jimmy was like, this guy's a regular at the bar. He's always saying this. If we could put him in and like have his character like say this. And I was like, oh, that's great. That's so much fun. Yeah, we're going to do that.
Okay. One last question about the Kickstarter here for a moment. Pros and cons of Kickstarter.
I think that the pros are, one major pro is the ease of using it. Okay. It walks you through every step of the way. It looks really clean. They have really good tips on how to like help get it funded or how to help make it look good. And they've updated a couple things on there that makes it look really clean and slick. Also, the community around Kickstarter in the indie comics is huge. One thing that I learned before I launched my first one, I did a lot of research, and it's like, go and, you know, support other people, you know, show that you're involved in it. And that goes a long way. And not even just, I'm not saying like throw your money at other things if you don't have it, but just like tweeting other people's Kickstarter links, talking about other, commenting on it. It's a very inclusive and accepting community where if you're just involved in it and you're passionate about it, like people come out to help you. And that's really cool. The cons, man, I would just say the worry and the the worry about it getting funded, because Kickstarter is all or nothing. You know, I think some other ones are like you get what you know, whatever you raise, you get. But Kickstarter is all or nothing, so that's really worrisome. Yeah, I would say that's really kind of the most. And just for me personally, I'm a person that does a hard time putting myself out there. Like networking, I hate networking. So like when there's things of trying to, you know, constantly find new ways to promote it and get yourself out there, I'm like, oh God, I don't want to do that. So that's another con for me, but I'm getting better at it. And I know it's a part of the job and a part of the, you know, part of the industry there. So.
All right. Well, we're going to urge everybody to go over to Kickstarter.com, search for the Rose Society.
Yeah, please.
Donate if you can.
Share it or tweet it or whatever. Sure. Anything helps. Appreciate it.
Sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about you, Eddie, if you don't mind. You've said you're a big comics fan, so I'm curious, what are some of your favorite comics or some of your favorite superheroes or whatnot?
Sure. Probably, I was talking about this recently. My favorite comic, one of my favorite comics of the past year was Little Bird. I don't know if you guys have read Little Bird by, I'm going to butcher his name, Darcy Von Poltergeist, I think.
I've heard of it now that you mentioned it.
Absolutely fantastic. The art was by Ian Bertramek. I'm butchering their names. But when I talked earlier about like a comic that has just everything, every aspect of it works perfectly together. Script, art, direction, lettering, colors. That's a book that does it. It just knocks it out of the park. I as soon as I finished that series, I think it was a short one, maybe 6 issues or something, I couldn't stop recommending it to people. So that was probably my favorite. And I've been trying to make sure, I'm obviously into the big Marvel and DC ones. I've always been a huge fan of Daredevil from Marvel. I'll read anything Daredevil does. I think Chip Zdarsky's current run on him is great, and it should go up in the, you know, the upper echelon of the Daredevil runs. DC, you know, I've always been the big Batman guy. I've been very loyal to my younger self when I've gotten into when I first went into a comic shop and just been like, oh, I know this guy or something like that, and I pick him up. I still stay loyal to those. But yeah, but I've been trying to make sure that I read a lot more indies. I love going to the comic shop and I miss it so much, but I love just going to the indie shelf and finding any new number one. I don't care. I don't need to know who the artists are or the writers are. If I recognize their names, obviously that's better, but I like to find new writers and new artists that way by just finding a new indie number one and picking it up, maybe reading the first, you know, five issues of that run for just, you know, it's just such a fun, exciting thing to be like, oh man, I could, you know, really fall in love with this mm-hmm. artist or something like that. So yeah, I just try to stay and read as much as I can.
So when you sit down to start a project and you start mm-hmm. writing, what is your process like? Do you come up with like a general outline and kind of build out from that? Do you kind of start at the end and work your way backwards? I know there's lots of different ways in which to write, and everybody has their own kind of way of doing it. But I'm always curious, how do you start this writing process?
Yeah, I would probably say mine's pretty traditional in that I always start with an outline. I guess I start at a very broad outline. I'll write like just a full kind of like quick outline story of the story, of the full story. And then I'll outline issue by issue. And then, but I find I've run into some snags when I'm trying to hammer home the character or figure out who this character is. I've tried some interesting exercises. I'm writing on this kind of like fun script, and I wanted to figure out how to figure out, you know, who this character was. And I started just writing journal entries from their voice just to see like what this person would kind of talk about in their journal. I have an acting background. I do comedy in Chicago. So I have a very like kind of being a character type of mm-hmm. background and what I've learned. So that's kind of one little thing that I try to do is before I write, I really want to find out the voice of characters, each individual one, so I can kind of see how they play off of each other and they talk with each other. Because writing down the script is fine, you know, the conversation is fine, but there's certain nuances of a conversation between the two characters or the however many characters that you are writing that would be specific to that character. So yeah, I start with an outline the issues, and then it never follows. As soon as I start writing and I have these characters down, I'm like, okay, well, that first issue's done. Okay, good. It followed the outline. Then the next issue, I'm like, okay, well, now I'm way the hell off course here. So I'm just going to keep going, and then we'll see what happens. But I think it's a good thing, you know, that's, you find the inspiration as you're going. And the outline's always good there because I can go back to it and I might be way off course. You know, maybe I've written four issues and, you know, the third outline for issue three is just completely off. But there's things in like issue four that I really liked and I wanted to keep in there. So maybe I can keep finding a way to kind of get into the story that I have written. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. they're really helpful. I recommend anybody that like wants to write any kind of comic story or any story, just really outline it first and be prepared that your story, when you write it, will not match your outline at all.
So yeah. Do you have any new projects coming up? You mentioned that you were working on this kind of the script. Do you have anything coming up that's a little bit different than the Rose Society?
Yeah, I'm constantly writing. I wrote a graphic novel that I'm really excited about. I have it currently edited. It's kind of like a mix between Dexter and What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay.
Yeah, which I'm really pumped about. It's about like four friends who are cursed with immortality. They happen upon like a down and out of luck serial killer, and they try to help each other. So I've been working on that, which is really fun. Kind of getting that edited. I'm entering into a couple contests. I know Webtoon is doing like a short story contest that I'm entering in with a fun little story. The Platform Comics is doing like a 10K where you get a prompt and then you have 10,000 minutes to create a comic with the team. So there's things like that, that I'm really excited for. But really, yeah, just constantly writing, trying to get, you know, more stuff in creation, more stuff into production. But I'd probably say the graphic novel is something that I've been really excited to get forward to.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you're a Wisconsin guy and obviously a Packers fan.
I am. Yes, I am.
He's wearing a Packers shirt.
Yeah. For those
like, it's an audio podcast, damn it, John. We don't know what he's... You know.
For those at home, yep.
Yeah. So if I could put you on the spot, who is the greatest Packers player ever?
By my own opinion, I know this is going to ruffle some feathers, but my own opinion is probably Aaron Rodgers. But Packers have such a rich history that you can't ignore like Paul Hornung and Bart mm-hmm. Starr back from the days and Don Hutson and those kind of guys that have shaped the league. But, you know, Aaron came into the league when I was, 17, 2005. I don't know how old it was. Yeah. I was in high school. So, and then, he took over when I was like an adult, and really, I've always been a fan when I was a kid, but when you're a fan as a kid, you sit with your dad and your parents and you watch the game while you play your Game Boy or something. When I've really become a fan of the game was when he took over. So I feel like I've kind of grown up with him. So he has a special place in my Mount Rushmore for the Green Bay Packers.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. If you said Mount Rushmore, who would be the other three? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Just for the Packers?
Yeah, just for the Packers.
Okay. Yeah. I would put Reggie White, of course.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, okay. Reggie White. One of my favorite players whose career was sadly ended too early because of a neck injury was Nick Collins. Not many people know him, but he was a great safety. And then I probably would put Bart Starr on there. I know I left Brett Favre off, but and that might, it's for any other Wisconsin Packers fans, I might get, hopefully none of them hear this because I don't have to get into, I'll have to explain myself. But
when you're not allowed back in they cut you off at the border, know why, right? Now.
Yeah. I mean, living in Chicago has been hard enough as a Packers fan, but though that would be my Mount Rushmore right there.
Okay. Hopes for the season with the Packers.
I hope it happens.
Yeah, I figured that's what you were going to say. I hope there is one.
That's right now where I'm at with it being the offseason, there's really nothing going on. Like, all I'm hoping for is I want them to succeed to win the Super Bowl every year. But right now, I just really hope the season happens in some capacity. Obviously, I don't want them to just force it to happen and put everybody at danger.
Right.
Which is just so irresponsible. But if they got to delay it or if they got to do some games with no fans, I don't care. Like, I think right now I'm just so missing sports that if you got to play with no fans in the audience, I don't care. Do it. Give me something. Yeah.
Last question here, then we'll start wrapping some things up and talk about a few social media stuff and whatnot. You're also a big video gamer. You're on Twitch playing Apex Legends quite a bit. I will confess I'm not a big video game guy.
Okay, but, no problem.
If you were going to recommend a game for me to start trying out, what would it be?
Well, have you ever played video games before?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like my...
The
last thing that I played was probably the last game that I played that was kind of new to me was going to be probably WrestleMania 2000 for the N64.
Oh, okay. Well, that was way back then. Okay.
That's way back. I was going to say, about a year or so ago, I broke out the Sega Genesis and played a little NHL 97, but I played that way back in the day.
I remember that game. That game rocked. I love that game. Oh, man. I think it was like the Penguins were like a powerhouse in that game, right?
They were. They were.
Yeah, play with the Penguins, just rock all day. Man, I don't know. That's such a long time ago. Like, I feel like if you were to hop onto a PlayStation 4 or something, it'd be like an alien. They're so intuitive and so intense now. But I mean, I think the best video game of the past two, or I don't remember when it came out, is Zelda Breath of the Wild. So I would recommend that to anybody to get a Switch and play that game. It's beautiful. Okay. It's super cool. It's fun. It's gripping. It's really great. So that'd be my recommendation. But only mostly because it's great, and I don't know what to recommend to someone who hasn't played a video game since N64.
Hey, man, I mean, it was either WrestleMania 2000 or GoldenEye. I don't remember which.
Well, if GoldenEye, then you might like Apex Legends and these.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah. There's a little bit more intense than GoldenEye, yeah.
Yeah, what can I say? I've just never been a real big video game guy.
That's all right. But, I respect that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, so I'm willing to learn.
Yeah, you'll be a little bit behind, but you'll get there.
All right, so I imagine that probably this question, much like for many of the creators over the last few weeks, is one that maybe you can't answer. But do you have any appearances, any conventions maybe towards the end of 2020, or is the schedule wide open right now because of our current situation?
Yeah, it's wide open right now, unfortunately. I'm still holding out and hoping that there's some of the later cons nearby that aren't going to be canceled. Obviously, they've been holding off if they're going to cancel them. There's a couple ones that I've recently discovered that were like the Madison, Wisconsin has a Comic-Con, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin has a Comic-Con. And I looked into them, and they've just been exponentially growing year over year. And they're later in the year. So I'm lined up to do those, hoping that they happen. But We'll see. So that's really kind of all I have there. So
have you done cons in the past?
Yeah, we've done small ones. We did all local pretty much in Illinois. We did a Rockford Comic Con, and then we went down to Peoria.
Okay.
So we've been applying to all the ones, you know, Chicago, but we're not, you know, we don't have that reputation yet. But we go there and we frequent them and we, you know, do our networking, due diligence and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They're great. Mm-hmm. Comic Cons are so much fun. And it was actually really interesting to go to these smaller ones. I had never been to a smaller Comic Con. The ones I've gone to as a fan have always been C2E2 something bigger like that. So my first experience going to a small one was very interesting. You really realize that, you know, there are small cities where they all have the same, you know, love, and there's cosplayers everywhere, and, you know, people come out to see it. It was really encouraging. So at first I was like, well, there's probably only going to be like 20 people at this thing. You know, this is going to be a long drive for nothing. And it was awesome. So, you know, foot in my mouth for sure.
Well, as we start to wrap things up, let's run down a few places where people can contact you. So where are you on Twitter, Instagram, all those social media outlets, website, etc.?
Yeah, totally. I know my Twitter and my Instagram are different, so I'm opening my phone just to check to make sure they're the right ones. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Eddie Klink. That's EddieKlink. And then on Instagram, you can find me. I'm Klinkza, KLINKZA. I'm posting a bunch on our Rose Society Kickstarters on each one. So follow me on there. You guys can kind of learn about our stretch goals and kind of see about all of our updates there. And we'll keep people updated on our goal to kind of make sure that we're giving back to these local comic shops and small businesses. So follow me on there, and I'll sprinkle in some really bad jokes that I think might go viral every now and then. You know, everyone's just trying to get viral now, so we'll see. We'll see.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything you want to tell the listeners real quick before we wrap things up?
Man, stay safe, everybody. I think you know, it's hard for us right now, but we'll all get through this if we just, you know, we be smart and we stay safe. So wash your hands.
There you go. Yeah. All right, with that, Eddie, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, John. This was great.
Cool. I'm going to throw it to a quick break, folks, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. There you have it, my conversation with Eddie Klinker, talking about the Rose Society. And if you're interested, go on over to Kickstarter.com, just search for the Rose Society, and you'll get the current campaign that's going on until May 31st. And as Eddie said in our conversation, you know, if you don't have the cash right now, because, you know, a lot of us are hurting economically, that's cool. Just tell some folks about it, you know, retweet it, post it on Facebook, throw it out there on Instagram and help spread the word. That's one way that you can help. Obviously, if you got a few bucks, plunk it on down and get yourself a copy of these books. And, you know, I'm not going to give too much away here, but I will say this, book one has a great twist at the end. You know, Eddie was kind enough. I plunked down my money, but he already in advance gave me my two copies already. And I read through them to prepare for our conversation. And book one has an awesome, awesome twist at the end that I didn't see coming. And so that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to ruin anything more. I'll just tell you that it's a great book. You need to pick it up if you can. So with that being said, I think about now it's time for me to let you know where you can find me and get in touch with me if you like to. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook page, that of course being facebook.com/PVDcast. You can even leave me a message if you like on Instagram. Just search for at PVDcast. And if you want to be a little more long-winded, you can shoot me an email. And my email address is johnorlando@PVDcast.com. And let me tell you where you can find this great podcast in case you want to tell a bunch of people about it. Ultimately, the easiest place to get it is, of course, pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available throughout most of the major podcast platforms, such as Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio app, radio.com app, Pod Paradise, Google Podcasts, basically anywhere you find podcasts, all you have to do is search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, PVDcast John Orlando, and you're sure to find it. And don't forget, as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode. You can hear the PVD cast every Monday night at 9:30 on Redline Radio. Find out all about the great shows and music that Redline Radio has by going to their website, RedlineRadioLLC.com or Redline Radio LLC on Facebook. Don't forget, if you're an Android phone user, all you got to do is download that app and you can take the station wherever you go. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you all for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy.